Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Live Up to Freedom program. My name is Aina Zani Cyrus, your host. I hope you all had a good day so far. I did, until about 20 minutes ago, I started reading some news that ruined my mood. And it ruined my day. I'm not sure if you got to that news yet or not, but looks like the Iran deal went through because Iran met all requirements. So in the title of this show, I put that I'm going to explain what an Islamic country means. After reading that news, I decided to talk about this deal first. A few months ago, I started a petition. Started a petition, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to convince much people to sign that petition. That petition was about Iran deal. I didn't get people to sign. Not enough people to sign. And today, that deal went on. It was signed. Sanctions were lifted. And one part of this news says, President Barack Obama signed executive orders lifting economic sanction on Iran. Oh, we're talking about $100 billion. In frozen assets. Do you really think that money is going to be helping the economy and life of my people in Iran? No, it won't. Yeah, I know. As you all know, I don't get involved with politics. I don't talk politics. I don't know much about politics, but this is not politics to me today. In that petition, I asked if Barack Obama, or as I call him, Hussein Obama, ever bothered to ask Iranian citizens what it means to live in Iran under Sharia law, Islamic Republic. I asked if he knew what happens to women. I asked if he knew how many people are being killed daily. And I'm still asking those questions. Same questions. You just released $100 billion in frozen assets, and you gave Islamic Republic of Iran's government the ultimate power to kill even more people. And shame on you. I was born and raised in the Islamic Republic of Iran. 15 years of my life, years. I was raped. I was tortured. I was sold to a marriage. I had to escape. I had to leave everything behind. Not because it wasn't fun. Because I had no choice. And now today, you use that pen again, sign an executive order to leave sanctions. Suddenly, after 38 years, Iran becomes your best friend. Iran has been our number one enemy. And the UN decides that Iran met all requirements. Really? Based on what? Could they prove that they're not killing innocent people? Could they prove that they're providing a decent basic rights to citizens of Iran? Islamic country, more specific, as always I say, Islamic Republic of Iran, gives us nothing. As a woman, we don't have rights. We just don't. As a man, The only way you have rights, the only way you can live a good life is if you obey every single law, which is Sharia law. And you're telling me that the government met requirements? I would like to see proof. How long do you think it's going to take until they start bombing other countries? You really think they have humanity? You think they have dignity? I know you don't think that, because you don't have any. And by you, I'm referring to Hussein Obama, the traitor. I want to know who gives you the right to make such a decision. Just because you have that pen to sign doesn't mean you have the right to destroy people's life. Knowing that the government of Iran can do what they've been doing for the last 37 years and get away with it all and be rewarded, actually, because this deal is a reward to them. They are holding the ultimate power. It is killing me inside. I got so pissed off. And then I got so sad. I'm sitting here trying to inform people of what is happening in my country, trying to be a voice for women and children back in my country who don't have a voice. And some Muslim man with a pen has the power to make their life even worse. I'm not gonna pretend that I'm in control of my brain right now or my heart. I don't know what's the emotion I need to name right now. But I'm gonna keep doing what I do. I'm gonna continue on the subject I was supposed to talk today. I was going to share a story of mine. I was going to talk about a court date I had back in my country. And I will do that. And I want you, everyone, whomever is listening, I want you all to listen to this story and all the laws I'm about to mention and ask yourselves, should we just let it go? Should we keep quiet on this Iran deal? And please don't come up with the answer, well, there's nothing we can do, because there's always something that we can do. Always. We just need to bother to look for it, to find it, and then do it. So, close to around 13, 14 years old, back in Iran, I was sold to a marriage, to an abusive marriage, to a man who suffered a lot of mental issues. And I used the word man for a lack of a better term. He used to beat me every day with any excuse he could find. I couldn't leave the house when I wished. I couldn't do what I needed to do. And again, I'm around 13, 14 years old. So one day, when he beat me, dislocated my shoulder, bruised up my face, with my lips bleeding, my nose broken, I got myself together and I walked into court, hoping I might be able to convince the judge to accept my request for a divorce. I walk in there. And I was asked, what's my reason to be there? Well, I mentioned, I would like to request for a divorce. I was asked, why? And I just pointed to my face, pointed to my dislocated shoulder, as I said. This is why I can't take the beatings anymore. I'm a little girl. In this country where I live today, United States, at that age, you are a little girl. You don't count as an adult. But well, in an Islamic country, you do. So the judge looks at me and says, well, maybe you should start obeying your husband so he wouldn't have to beat you. Are you kidding me? Well, no, he wasn't kidding me. Nobody was kidding me. This is the law of Islamic Republic of Iran. And for those of you who think it's just a law, made up law, no, it isn't. It comes straight from Quran, Surah An-Nisa, the woman, what I always refer to. I ask everyone to read that surah. It says, if you think your wife is about to disobey you, warn her, separate your bedroom, and then beat her until she starts obeying you. Now that law comes from that Quran. So for all of Muslims who are coming to put a comment saying, oh, Iran is abusing the name of Islam to be this and that. No. Islamic Republic of Iran's constitution comes directly from Quran. I've read it, I compared it, and it is what it is. It comes from your holy book, Quran. And because Islam says at age 9, a girl is a woman, then at that age, I am a woman. So I'll be treated like an adult, and I will go to court like an adult, and I get rejected on my divorce request by a judge as an adult. I couldn't even fight the fact that I am underage. I am a little girl, because that doesn't exist. So my fight is that I cannot take the beating anymore. But is this my fault? Because I'm not obeying him. So go home, obey him. He won't beat you. If you obey him and he did beat you, then come back and I will talk to him. Oh, really? Well, thank you for your support and understanding and humanity. So I'm sent back. I managed to escape. I did. But so many cannot. I have had friends who ended up killing themselves because they just couldn't take it anymore. I've been there. I've been to a point where I just couldn't take it anymore. Did I think of killing myself? Yes, I did. But I thought there are other options. Now I'm going to go ahead and read you the law of divorce in Islamic Republic of Iran. So, basically, in Iran, the right to divorce belongs to the man. Before the revolution, Shah of Iran, King of Iran, Reza Pahlavi, changed that law and said, either the man or the woman, whomever, wants to file for a divorce, you're going to come to the court, you have to represent a good reason, decent reason, and then you two mutually come to agreement, or a judge will step in and help you out. After the revolution, when Iran became an Islamic Republic, that law was thrown out. The new law came in that says, the right to the divorce belongs to the man. Now, I am reading, trying to translate as I read in Farsi. I have the law of Iran court, Supreme Court of Iran, right in front of me where it says, a man can divorce his wife at any point without a reason to his liking. I repeat that. A man can divorce his wife at any point without a reason to his liking. Now, a woman can request a divorce from court under certain circumstances. Right there and then, you should realize the difference between a man and a woman. So whomever tells me or tells you or talks about the fact that in Islam there's equality between man and woman, no, it isn't. It wasn't, it isn't, it's never going to be. So stop the whole shebang of Islam's being hijacked. Quran says it, Islamic countries, laws, constitutions are saying it, ISIS is doing it, Muslim Brotherhood is doing it. There is no hijacking. This is the truth about Islam. Now, circumstances that a woman can actually request. Now, a man can just divorce. A woman can request. And that request needs to be approved by a judge, a man judge. Again, goes back to where I say a woman is counted as a half. So she has half a brain. She cannot make a decision. She can request to a man who's a judge, and that judge can decide on it. Now, number one reason she can request is if the man is not providing basic shelter, food, and clothing. Basic. If you have enough to eat that you won't starve, that calls basic within the law. If you have a roof over your head, your house could be coming down, collapsing, broken. Who cares? As long as you have a roof over your head, so. And as long as you are wearing enough to be covered, so you have your hijab and you're warm, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if your house is new, it's old, whatever it is. These are the three steps. If he's not providing those, you can request for a divorce. Now, the first step that happens is that the judge is going to call in your husband and ask him, why is he not providing? Now, if he says he doesn't have a job or he can't afford it, you won't be granted that divorce. You will be told to hold on, hang in there until he finds a good job. But if he comes in and say, I don't feel like paying her, I don't feel like feeding her, then you might be lucky enough to get your judge to sign on that divorce. Second reason a woman can actually go in and request for a divorce is if the marriage is affecting the future of the man. Listen, if a woman goes to court and say, listen, if I stay married to this man, I am holding him back from becoming a better person in future. How ridiculous is that? Why don't you just come out and say, you don't have the right to divorce? Why do you have stupid laws like that? Moving on. Third reason. If your husband is gone and you do not know where he is, you don't know what happened to him, so he's either missing or he's gone for 4 years. You're going to have to wait 4 years. Then you can go and request for a divorce. 4 years of your life, you're going to wait to see. He might come back. He might call you. He might send in money. He might do something. And if it was 3 years, 11 months, and 29 days, and he came back, oops, sorry, you can't actually file for divorce. That's the third reason a woman can go in and request for a divorce. The fourth reason, if before getting married, you signed an agreement mentioning terms, after marriage, the man didn't keep those terms, you can request for a divorce. Meaning, let's say before getting married, the woman says, okay, you can never ever get a second or third or fourth wife. The man signs. After marrying, a few years later, he goes and gets a second wife. Then you can go request a divorce. But then here's the case. the judge will again call in your husband and he will tell him that here are your choices, divorce the second wife or divorce the first wife. You see, if you decide to divorce the second one, you're still stuck. You can't go anywhere. You have to stay with a man who went and got a second wife. If he went and got a temporary wife, same thing. The judge will tell you, wait until the temporary rental agreement between your husband and that other woman is over. Now, I grew up in it. All of this, what I'm saying, I've heard them, I've seen them, I witnessed them, all of that. And it's still to this moment, it doesn't make a bit of a sense to me. It bothers me. When I read it, when I talk about it, when I remember it, it just bothers me. So I don't know how is it that a lot of people here know about it, they hear about it, they read about it, they listen to programs like mine, and they still say, well, it's the culture. How can that be a culture? Okay, it's their culture. Why are you so all right with them to bring it into our country now? Well, you think all the refugees coming in, let me rephrase that, all the so-called refugees coming in are just going to forget about all that culture and they're going to start following our culture here? No, they won't. They love that culture. They love that culture. Because Islam gives the ultimate power and control to the man who follows Islam. They're just coming here to conquer. Because at the end of the day, Islam needs to take over. Everybody was born Mohammedan or Muslim. So you see, one simple right, which is a right to divorce. I call it a simple right because here in the United States, man or woman, they can both request for a divorce. It doesn't exist in Islamic countries, and it's not just Iran. You go read any constitution of any of the Islamic countries, you will see the same law applies because all of them comes from Quran. The constitution of Islamic countries come from Sharia law and Quran, so they all end up the same. They're all the same. So for those of you out there who are wishing and fighting for Sharia law to come into our constitution, read, study, learn before you pick your fight. I know of feminist groups who are fighting for Sharia law. Do you even know what it is? Or is it just cool to side with refugees because you want to show how nice of a person you are? Again, you don't even know who these refugees are. They haven't been screened. You don't know if they're giving the real name. You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know where they're going. So why are you siding with them? Why are you forgetting about our beautiful constitution, history, laws, and freedom, and just picking a side with them? And that's a real question I don't understand. I get the question, why are women, like Muslim women in Islamic countries, why are they obeying the law and, you know, keeping quiet? That I understand because most of them brainwashed. Some of them don't have a way out. And they don't want to be killed. What I don't understand is free women here in the United States or in Europe not doing anything about it. That aside, some of them are actually siding with them. That I don't understand. What I do understand is, first of all, the deal that was just made with Islamic Republic of Iran's government, it's one of the scariest deals has ever been made. And I am asking everyone, please go to my Facebook page. I have that petition. Read it. I'm not saying it's a guarantee that we can win, but at least it's something. If you have a better idea, you all know I'm always open to suggestions. I'm always listening. Send me messages. Show me different ways to fight this. This deal cannot go on. Every single one of us are in danger. The Islamic Republic of Iran, for last 37 years, they had the power. They destroyed lives. I witnessed many of them. I have had Christian friends who were killed. I have had Jewish friends who were killed. I have had Baha'i friends who had to escape, who had to run, who had to hide. I have seen my classmates sold to marriage at ages of 9 and 10. For God's sake, people, wake up. No one in our government is going to save our country. It's up to us. We gotta do something. What I can do is what I'm doing right now, trying to educate everyone, trying to share my stories. Trust me, it is not easy to sit here and talk about them, but I'm doing it because I know if I don't, then you won't know, and if you don't know, you can't do anything about it. I just don't want it to be too late. Every minute counts. Biggest enemy or threat is not ISIS today. You know why? Because they are upfront and they are telling us what they're planning to do. They're not hiding it. They're not planning anything behind our back. They're not. Our number one enemy today is Barack Hussein Obama in the office. I said this a few months ago on one of the radio programs that we need to find a way to take that pen away from this man. I still say the same thing. He has a year left. And every minute of every day of this year gets more and more dangerous. I am not over-exaggerating. I am talking from experience. Letting Islam come to this country was a mistake. A mistake we need to correct. Islam, as I said on my very first video, cannot coexist with anything else. It is a whole. It will come in and it will consume and it will get rid of humanity. I've seen it happen in my country, Iran. My people are so tired of it. They can't even fight anymore. You go talk to anyone from old to young, and all they're going to tell you is, what's the point? They just kill us all. 2008, people came on the streets. They tried for a revolution. At the end of the day, no one helped them. They were on the streets screaming for help from Hussein Obama, from United Nations. They didn't get it. We just ended up with over 12,000 dead bodies and about 5,000 people in prison, who a lot of them today, we don't even know what happened to them. You might be able to guess, but we don't know. There are so many cases in Iran where by luck, by begging any shape or form, women get their husbands to agree to divorce. They get the divorce. They step out free and happy, thinking they did it. And so many of them end up either dead or acid thrown on their faces and bodies. And here's the punishment for the person who did it. Nothing. Nothing. They don't get punished. There was a woman named Amine Bahrami. I know it's hard for you to pronounce it. She convinced her husband to give her a divorce. Reason was she just couldn't take the beating anymore. And he also wanted to get a second wife. Okay. She got the divorce. She walked out. 3 days later, her father-in-law walked up to her and poured acid all over her. She survived. She didn't die. But to this day, every day, she wishes that she was dead. He was arrested. And his excuse, lame excuse, was that she brought shame to their family by convincing his son to divorce her. He walked away because what he did was for dignity of his family. You've heard of honor killings, right? Same thing applies to this case and many other cases in Iran. We see the pictures. It's the picture that I have on my page, actually. On this episode's page is the picture I have. Oh, such a beautiful girl. How horrific it is. How painful it is. Well, it has been happening in this country, too. We just don't know all of it. You really think they're going to hesitate to grow that? You really think they're going to pick and choose? You really think they're just going to do it to Muslim women? No, they will do it to anyone they can. And they always have some sort of lame excuse to get away with it. Because they have. There have been cases in the United States where a father or a brother or a son got away with honor killings. It has been happening here. And all I'm asking is please open your eyes. Don't forget, when you're done listening to my episode, when you walk away, please don't get busy with something else. I'm not saying stop your lives. I'm just saying keep it back of your mind. Try to think about it. Try to remember all the women who are being killed, raped, tortured, acid thrown on their faces back in Islamic countries. I know you can't save them. I know. But you can save a lot of future victims in this country. All you need to do is remember what you hear from people like me, like Nani Darwish, like Mona Walter. We are talking from experience. There is nothing for us to gain. We have no reason to make it up. We have no reason to lie. But we do have decent reasons to tell you the truth. Because we just don't want Islam happening to this country. We can't do it on our own. As I always say, we have to stand together. We need to fight this together. Islam always and always mentions divide and conquer. I always say, I don't get involved with politics. So I'm asking every single one of you, let's put aside a different point of views on politics. This is not politics. This is our country. This is our freedom. This is the future of our children. It's the next generation. If we don't fight it, it's just scary to even think if you don't fight it. We need to get more and more and more educated. We need to know what we're dealing with. I have talked to many of my American friends. They even made me angry because they still get confused between where I'm from. They keep saying Iraq. No, I'm from Iran. Iran, with an N at the end. A lot of people ask me, what's your problem with this deal? Why do you have a petition out there? And what I tell them is, Islamic Republic of Iran is a Shia Muslim country, 100%. 100%. They don't accept any other faith, religion, law, anything. They even kill the Sunni Muslims. I just put a video on my Facebook of two men and one woman, Sunni Muslim, being hung. They hung them. The woman is a pregnant woman. For God's sake, who can do that? And a few days later, boom, they got a deal. They got a deal. They are good at covering their track. A lot of people ask me what's the difference between Sunni and Shia. So the main difference is, you know, the fight over power of first Khalifa after Muhammad died. But then other thing is Shia Muslims are all about politics. They play you. They're damn smart when it comes to politics. Sunni people, not so much. Look at ISIS. They come out yelling and screaming. They come to your face and cut your head off. Shia is Iran. After 37 years of being number one enemy of the United States, when I went to school, the first day I stepped into my school, the first sentence I was taught was down to America. Or down with America, sorry, I don't know. That's what they say every morning at prayer, every Friday where Supreme Leader does his speech. And now, boom, they're our friends. They're going to start coming and going. And guess what? They're going to attack us as soon as possible. Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran, came and gave a speech in Farsi that was translated by another channel, which the translation was complete lie. I listened to the Farsi version. The first thing he said to people who are standing there screaming, kicking, why are you making a deal with the big evil of United States, he stand there and say, my brothers, we must do what's needed to achieve our goal. He is referring to Taqiyya, lie your way up. We need this power to do what we've been trying to do. We need to get rid of Israel. And Obama signs the damn deal. When exactly did we start being friends with the Islamic Republic of Iran and enemies with Israel? Why are we sitting quietly, just reading the news, passing by, moving on, watching a sitcom and going about our day? It is important. It is crucial. It's everything to us right now to fight this, man. We need to fight Islam. Hussein Obama is a soldier in jihad right now. He is using the third form of jihad, which is politic jihad. And you're still sitting saying, oh, he's just so stupid. Oh, no, he's not. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. There's no way I'm going to believe that he has no idea what is happening in my country. I don't believe for a second that he doesn't know all the women and, you know, Christians and Jewish and Baha'i people being killed every day. I mean, every day, people in Tehran, every morning at 5 a.m., there's a street where they bring prisoners and hang them every morning at 5 a.m. Every morning at 5 a.m. And none of those people are being killed because they did something wrong. No. Their lives are being taken because they don't follow Islam, period. So please wake up. Please try to feel my pain. You don't know what it's like. I do. I lived it for 15 years. Islam is the biggest fear of my life. And I have good enough reasons to be scared of it. And I'm trying so hard to let you all know what is coming to us. It's not a peaceful religion. It's not even a religion. It's an ideology. It's a killing system. It's a convert or die system. It's a brainwash system. And it's a damn worst possible one you have ever seen in the history of planet. That is not an over-exaggeration. That's the reality of it. I have witnessed women being raped, being tortured. I have witnessed girls under age of 18 being raped, tortured, imprisoned, sold to marriages. I've seen it with my own eyes. I lived it with my own heart. So if you're listening live, or you're going to listen to it later, please remember my voice. Please remember my words. And please study and learn the truth about what is happening within Islamic countries. Try to follow the news, the truth news about Europe today. Germany, UK, Sweden, Australia. Expand your networks on your Facebook pages. There are so many other people who are doing same fight. There are people from Europe who are trying to send videos and news about what's happening to their towns. Please don't pass by and not care. This is our freedom. This is our country. It's our lives. Try to read Surah An-Nisa, the woman, the fourth surah of Quran. You can find it on Quran.com with a Q, Quran.com, fourth surah. Look for Sahih International Translation. Trust me, it's going to save your life if you read that surah. Because you're going to understand what a woman means in Islam. I can make it easy. A woman means nothing. But if you don't take my word for it, go ahead and read it for yourself. Go on YouTube. And Google, search on YouTube for Islamic Republic of Iran divorce court. There are documentaries made. You will see a 15-year-old girl trying so hard to get her life back. She's trying to get a divorce. She plays any possible game she can to get that divorce. She wants to go back to school. That's all she cares for. And I feel her because that's what I want. I was denied a higher education in my own country because I was a woman. You do not, under no circumstances, want any of that to happen to our future generation of girls. This country, our culture teaches us how precious our daughters are. It teaches us to protect them, to cherish them. what's coming to this country, so-called cultural Islam, Muslims, Middle Easterns, all of that cannot coexist with our culture. It just can't. Again, I'm not saying because I heard of it. I lived it. 15 years, I lived that culture. I lived under Sharia law. I lived under Islamic Republic of Iran. And as I said, I have studied Quran compared to the Constitution of Iran. Every word comes from Quran. So it's not that, oh, Iran is a bad country. The government of Iran is this and that. No, it all comes from Quran. Every law comes from Quran. It really hurts me when I see that a simple picture of a random thing in Facebook goes viral, and everybody's so busy for days to comment on it and fight over it and share it and make it their portfolio picture and all those stuff. But people, again, like me, Nani Darvish, Mona Walter, Farah Prudence, we make videos, we write articles, we do radio programs, we do podcasts, and it's very limited. It doesn't go any further than that. And again, it's not about us. It's about what we are talking about. It's about our experiences. It's about us going from victims to survivors so we can help other victims. It's about us fighting for this country where all of us came to in hopes for a better life, in hopes for freedom. Now we're all watching it go away. We're just sitting back and letting it happen. We are feeling sorry for the poor refugees. How do you know they're poor refugees? Don't look at them, because this is how Middle East is. Middle Eastern look is that. That's the way they dress. That's the way they look. They don't do daily shower. So they might look like poor refugees to you, but they are not poor refugees. I come from there. Nani Darvish comes from there. Farah Prudence comes from there. Mona Walter comes from there. We all know. We can spot them. Our country. We, the people. We have the power to stop this madness. It has nothing to do with freedom of religion. It has nothing to do with being nice. How can you be nice to people who are lying to you? How can you be nice to people who are coming in, planning on destroying your lives, your children's life? How can you? And honestly, if after months of my videos, radio, articles, years of Nani Darvish try, years of hearing from Mona Walter, years of hearing from Farah Prudence, years and years of hearing from Bridget Gabriel didn't convince you, then I really don't know how to go about it. There are actual, real people dying every day. Not in Middle East anymore. No, I'm talking about Germany. Their women are being raped daily on the streets. There are rapes and gang groomings going on in UK every day not for a few days. It's been going on for years, and it's getting worse and worse. Sweden. Women are scared of stepping out of their houses because they don't know when they're going to be a target of rape. I don't know what else you are waiting for. Does it really have to come to our backyard in order for us to get up and do something about it? Why can't we just put two and two together and say, well, look at them. Aren't they the same refugees? Aren't they all following the same book? As my very great and dear friend says, John Wolfe, here's a bowl of M&Ms. Just few of them are poisons. Go ahead, help yourself. Same story with, oh, millions of Muslims are living peacefully. Okay, good for them. Which I have made videos proving they're not actually Muslim. They're calling themselves Muslim, but by book of Quran, they're not. But okay, for sake of argument, good for them. Are you going to sit back, chill, and love Muslims because millions of them are living in peace? What about the refugees in Europe raping, killing, and torturing people? What about those? Are we going to sit and pick and choose? Oh, okay, that one looks nice. That one looks like a poor refugee. Oh, that man is okay. You can't do that. This is a matter of our lives. Freedom, country, constitution, children. I have people come on my Facebook page and ask for facts. Oh, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I need facts. What fact do you need? I am the fact. I am pouring my heart. I am telling you what I went through. You want fact? What fact? You really think Islamic Republic of Iran is going to let me take papers of my rape case? There is no such a thing as rape case. There is no such a thing as rape. You get raped, it's your fault. If you're lucky, you get lashes from government and then more lashes from your family for bringing shame to them. You want proof? Well, go to your Facebook. Look for videos from Europe today. Forget about years ago of my life. Today it's happening. For the sake of argument, Islam was hijacked. Okay, I don't care if it was hijacked or it wasn't. The Islam I'm talking about today is the Islam that's ruling countries. So good for you if you're old, untouched, non-hijacked Islam was so peaceful. I don't care for that. The Islam I was introduced to, the Islam I grew up under, the Islam I'm seeing today is not a religion. It's not a religion of peace. It is an ideology that teaches hate, killing, murder, torture, rape. And I, for one, would not bow to it. And I will fight. And I will fight, and I will fight. But it's just so painful when I try, and all I get is, okay, I need facts. Well, what about my neighbor who's a very nice Muslim? Oh, what about that girl who's converting to Islam and says Islam is really good? Well, I would like to see that girl who's converting to Islam and saying Islam is really good. I would like to talk to her in about 3 weeks. Because I'm sure you still have heard of the news of a woman being trapped into converting to Islam and ended up either dead or acid thrown on her face. Or did we just completely stop reading and listening because we're too busy caring about our celebrities and Hollywood movie stars and singers? Because as I said before, I love my music, I love my movies. But guess what? When Islam takes over, there is no more of those. So for the sake of even keeping those alive, let's fight for it. Whatever your reason is, just get up and fight. Educate yourself. Get out there. Do something. Spread the word. Just a lot of people are worried that if they share my material on their Facebook, Twitter, or anywhere else, they're going to lose friends. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's just hang out at least for now, because I know when they're going to come and kill us all, unless you're willing to convert to Islam. If you're going to lose a friend because you're sharing the truth, then I don't think they're really your friends. But if you're so worried about having them to like your pictures, then okay, well, I understand. Let's not share the truth. Let's keep it under the blanket and just share our weekend pictures at the bar and like it and comment and tell each other how beautiful our dress or hairdo or makeup is. I guess that's more important. Because soon enough, we won't have the freedom to have hair done, makeup, and dress, because we're going to be wearing the hijab. And yeah, go ahead and curse at me for saying it. Go ahead and tell me to go back home. I am home. But this is what it is. If we don't do something today, right now, we might as well just start preparing for hijab. Again, as I said, my country, Iran, used to be a westernized, civilized country where women were going to school, they were wearing miniskirt, and they could get married, they could get divorced, they could have a business, they could be educated, they could do whatever. In matters of 8 months, 8 months, it became Islamic Republic of Iran. And for the last 37 years, it has been Islamic Republic of Iran. Nobody could or can do anything about it. And even though we do have our guns, as you all have witnessed, they're not going to come shooting so we can shoot back. They're going to blow themselves up to pieces and take a lot of us with them. See, that's a problem. You are all thinking about this logically. There is no logic to Islam and Muslims. They don't fight fair. They don't have a code of honor. They're not going to say, oh, we're not going to touch your children and women. No, they're actually going to go after them first. They don't have honor. They don't have dignity. They don't have humanity. Look at every single terror attack by Muslims. If you can find a single one that was fair or honorable, then okay, I'm just going to keep it quiet. But there isn't, because the Quran tells them to betray, to lie, use taqiyya, come in, be friendly, and then stab you in the back. So we need to be prepared. Forgive me, as I am extremely emotional today, but I mentioned at the beginning, just seeing that deal go through was like a slap in the face. But I still hope that anyone who's listening to this program will try to at least help me spread the word. We need to stand together. We have to fight together. And until the next program, please, please stay safe, be vigilant. Thank you so much, all of you, for listening in. I wish you all a great weekend. And as always, try to educate yourself. You all have a good day. Bye-bye.